Welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, a certified functional medicine practitioner, registered nutritionist, and author. In this podcast, we delve into the world of energy and immune health and wellness with positivity, from optimal health and energy to stress and burnout, right through to immune conditions such as thyroid and autoimmune disease. We deep dive into functional medicine, nutritional medicine, and lifestyle medicine, as well as the personal stories of our amazing guests, from Olympians to famous faces, and guest experts from all different parts of the health and wellness world. It's time to stop letting your health hold you back and become the optimal version of you. Don't forget to come and join the conversation on Instagram at good_health, that's G-O-O-D-E, or visit the website nicolegoodhealth.com to find out more. Welcome back to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, certified functional medicine practitioner, and thank you for joining me as we dive deeper into the topic of stress. Because today, what we're going to be talking about is the fact that stress is not one thing. So something that I think is really important to understand, particularly as we start out in this episode, is stress is lots of different things. We use the terminology very, very loosely. We tend to talk about stress as though it's this single experience, something that you either have or you don't have. But in reality, two people can both describe themselves as stressed and be experiencing something completely different at a biological level. And this is where much of the confusion comes from. People try advice that works for someone else, or they follow generic recommendations online. And when that doesn't help, they assume that the problem is with them, that they're maybe not doing it properly, or that somehow they're just worse at coping than everyone else. And in clinic, I see this constantly. One person will feel permanently switched on, tense, and unable to relax, while another may feel flat, heavy, and emotionally muted. Someone else feels fine until they crash after some effort or after illness, and another feels as though their stress tolerance has completely collapsed after years of coping. From the outside, all of these experiences get labeled as stress, but biologically, they're driven by different patterns of nervous system activity, hormonal signaling, immune load, and metabolic capacity. And this is why generic stress advice so often misses the mark. Suggestions like reduce stress, do more self-care, learn to relax, they're not wrong, but they're incomplete. Without understanding how stress is showing up in your body, even well-intentioned advice can feel frustrating or ineffective. Another reason that this matters is because people fall into the trap of self-diagnosis. They hear about a condition or a label, they recognize one or two symptoms, and assume that that must be what is going on for them. While labels can sometimes be helpful, they can also create unnecessary anxiety and oversimplify what actually is a much more nuanced and complicated process that's going on in the body. The approach I want to take today is different. Rather than diagnoses or labels, we're going to talk about patterns. Patterns of stress that I see every week in real people. Patterns that reflect how the body adapts when demand exceeds recovery. Stress isn't a single diagnosis. It's a pattern that shows up differently depending on how the body is adapting. As we go through these patterns, you may recognize yourself clearly in one of them. You may recognize aspects of more than one, and that's completely normal. Stress responses can overlap and they can shift over time depending on what the system has been exposed to. So as well as looking at the stress response, we touched on this in last week's episode, but this week I really want to deep dive into these different patterns and these real life scenarios that we see in clinic every day. The goal here isn't to put yourself into a box, it's to understand your body's current state a little bit better so that supporting stress feels clearer and less overwhelming. As you listen, I'd encourage you to stay curious rather than analytical and notice what resonates without trying to draw conclusions just yet. We're not naming the problems today, we're trying to build this understanding and just recognize patterns. So with that, let's look at pattern one. And this is a really, really common one that I see in clinic all the time. And this is this wired stress. So sometimes it's called high alert stress or hyperarousal. It's the first stress pattern that I want to explore for a reason. And that is because it is so often misunderstood, but it's also so common. And this is probably the pattern that most people recognize as stress. So most people, when they say stress, this is probably the pattern that they're talking about. In this pattern, the body feels tired, but the mind doesn't slow down. There's a sense of being constantly switched on. Thoughts keep moving. Maybe your body feels tense, alert, or restless, even when there's no immediate reason for it. People often describe it as feeling a little bit on edge, or maybe like you're always bracing for something, always ready for something. There's an urgency in your system, a subtle pressure to keep going, to keep doing, to keep thinking, even during downtime.
So maybe during that downtime when you're trying to relax, your nervous system doesn't quite settle. Switching off can feel really difficult, and rest can feel uncomfortable rather than restorative, or maybe you feel guilty for resting. Silence can feel quite noisy and stillness feels unfamiliar. Many people in this pattern say they feel most alert in the evening. So they'll finally sit down and instead of relaxing, their brain will wake up, ideas will start flowing, worries will start surfacing, plans will get made. And by the time the body is ready to sleep, your system is actually wide awake. Mornings, on the other hand, in this pattern can feel heavy. So despite enough hours in bed and maybe even sleeping enough, waking up can feel difficult. Energy kind of comes online slowly. And often that might be only after you've done something to give it a kick. So had some caffeine or done some movement or had some sort of pressure that kicks the system into gear. What's interesting is how often people misinterpret this experience. They assume that they're anxious. So a lot of people will describe themselves in this pattern as being an anxious person or that they're an overthinker or that they're bad at managing stress. They're very good at criticizing themselves. So maybe you're telling yourself that you should just be meditating more or you just need to calm down or get better at relaxing. But what's actually happening is not a failure of mindset. It's a physiological state. In wired stress, the nervous system is biased towards threat, not because something terrible is happening, but because the system has learned to stay alert in order to cope. So stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline are doing a lot of the heavy lifting. They're helping you to focus, helping you meet demands, helping you to stay productive. They're creating that drive and urgency and momentum. And you may be really holding down your job really well and keeping up with life. In many cases, this really does look like high functioning people. If you're recognizing this pattern in yourself, you may be very capable and you may get lots of things done. You may even perform really well under pressure. The question is, what is the cost of that stress chemistry that is propping up the function? Because energy isn't coming from a place of ease or flexibility. It's being borrowed. Cortisol timing is often disrupted in this pattern. So instead of following that smooth daily rhythm, cortisol may stay elevated into the evening, or it may fail to rise appropriately in the morning. And this is why people feel wired at night and exhausted when they wake. And it's not that you're lazy in the morning. It's not that you're hyperactive at night. It's not that you're just a night person. It's that your stress rhythm has become misaligned. Sleep may be affected in this pattern as well. So that's something that you might recognize. Falling asleep may feel difficult, or sleep may become more fragmented and lighter. Even when sleep does happen, it doesn't necessarily feel deeply restorative. And that's because your nervous system is really never fully standing down. During the day, you may have reliance on stimulants. So you might find that, you know, you need that caffeine to get going in the morning. You need caffeine to help you focus or to create momentum or pressure that helps you to override the fatigue to get things done. Deadlines and urgency may temporarily improve your energy. So you may actually be a person who works really well to deadlines. And that's not something that we see as stress. We tend to see that as, I just work really well under pressure. I work well to deadlines. The problem is that's great until your system crashes. Another key signal that you may see in this pattern, and this is, we're saying may see here because you may not have all of these things within these patterns. You may recognize some of them. But another one that you may see is irritability, and that tolerance may be lower. So your emotional reactions might be sharper. You might react to things a little bit quicker than you would normally. And small stresses may feel disproportionately draining. And because this pattern is fueled by stress chemistry, you often feel worse when you try to rest. So without that adrenaline to keep things afloat, that fatigue becomes more noticeable. So you start to see how you're actually feeling when you start to rest. And that can make rest feel unhelpful or even feel a bit threatening. Maybe when you start to rest, you feel like you start to get sick. You start to feel ill. And that is threatening you being able to keep going. So you push through. You keep going. You keep that adrenaline running. Clinically, this pattern is very common in high-functioning people. So people who are responsible, driven, used to carrying a lot. People who've learned consciously or unconsciously that staying alert is the way to cope. And this is where the reframe matters. This isn't resilience, it's compensation. Resilience includes the ability to activate and to recover. Wired stress reflects a system that's very good at activation, but struggling with recovery. So it has to compensate. And nothing about this pattern means that you're broken. It means that your body has adapted to sustain demand by staying switched on. An adaptation, when it's understood, can be supported, but not by asking the system to try harder or to calm down on command. Wired stress doesn't need more discipline. It needs more safety. It needs regulation. It needs permission to stand down, and not through force, but through understanding. So maybe you recognize yourself in this pattern. Maybe you know that you work well to deadlines. Maybe you see yourself as a slightly anxious person, or you always lean on the anxious side. Maybe you are wired in the evening. Maybe you can work late at night. Maybe you do notice yourself getting a little bit more irritable. Maybe sleep's been affected, or you just wake up from a good night's sleep, but you don't feel restored. If you're recognizing any of these symptoms within you, then you might have this wired stress, high alert pattern going on. So let's have a look at the second pattern. And this again is one that we see very often as well. This is flat stress. So pattern two, flat stress, this is this shutdown, and you're really in conservation mode. And sometimes this comes after somebody has been in the wired phase. Some people go straight into the flat stress phase, but it looks very different from wired stress. And it's one that people often find more confusing and sometimes more frightening, actually. And this is what I describe as flat stress or shutdown, the conservation-based response. In this pattern, stress doesn't feel loud or urgent. It feels muted. It feels heavy. It feels slow. So you may feel like you've got a loss of motivation, but not in a really dramatic way. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It's not that you don't necessarily care. It's just that everything feels a little bit harder to initiate. Tasks that used to feel manageable maybe now require more effort. Even things that you maybe normally enjoy can feel neutral or draining. Maybe you don't want to go out as much as you used to. Emotionally, there's often a sense of flatness. Not necessarily sadness, there can be, but not necessarily, but a lack of spark. So a narrowing of that emotional range. And people may say things like, I just don't feel like myself anymore. I don't have the same drive anymore. I struggle to get going. All of these things are a sign of flat stress. So energy feels really different here. Instead of being restless or wired, it feels heavy, slowed. And people describe moving through the day as though they're like wading through something thick. So the body can actually feel weighted and the mind feels dulled. Everything feels like an effort, not because you're unwilling, but because your system simply doesn't have the same output available. Understandably, people often assume the wrong thing is wrong. They worry that they're depressed or that they've become lazy or that they've lost their drive or ambition. Actually, sometimes this gets put down to hormones as well. So a lot of people sort of say, I think my hormones are maybe playing up. And because this pattern doesn't come with obvious anxiety or panic, it can be harder to explain to others and to yourself. And in this flat stress, many people judge themselves really harshly. So you may compare yourself to how you used to function or feel ashamed that you just can't seem to get back into things, get going, even though you want to. But what's actually happening is not psychological failure. It's a physiological shift. In flat stress, the system has moved into energy conservation mode. So after a long period of demand, the body reduces output in order to protect itself. And this is not collapse, it's regulation. When stress load exceeds capacity for long enough, the nervous system adapts by pulling back. Rather than escalating stress signals further, it downregulates drive, motivation, and reactivity. Nervous system flexibility is reduced, and the system struggles to move easily into states of activation, not because it's not capable, but because it's prioritizing preservation over performance. Clinically, this pattern often happens following long periods of pushing through, and that's why it can come after the wired stage. So months or years of sustained stress, responsibility, poor recovery, or illness. And then you may have been in the wired state for a long, long time until the system just couldn't sustain that level of activation any longer. And at that point, the stress response doesn't escalate further, it collapses. And this is why people often feel confused. It doesn't mean you necessarily had a dramatic breakdown. You just gradually feel like you lost capacity. Motivation faded, energy flattened, emotional color drained. And because this happens quite quietly, people often miss it or interpret it as a personal failing. So the key reframe here is essential. Your system isn't broken, it's protecting itself. And flat stress is what happens when the body decides that continuing to push through would cause harm. So it slows things down, it's reducing that output, it's asking for less demand, not through panic or alarm, but through heaviness and lack of drive. And this is why forcing motivation rarely works in this pattern. Trying to push through often increases that exhaustion or frustration. And actually trying to do everything to support your body can be read by the system as asking for more stimulation. And what your body actually needs is conditions that allow capacity to rebuild safely. So if you're trying to do everything to heal in this phase, it may not work. And when this pattern is understood, something important shifts. You can start to see yourself as you are, not as somebody who is lazy or broken, but somebody who needs to rebuild. You can start recognizing that your body needs protection and it's been asking for it probably for a long time. And that understanding matters because flat stress doesn't resolve through pressure. It resolves through support, regulation, and gradual restoration of capacity. Once the system feels safe enough, energy can return, but it does so slowly and on the body's terms, not through force. So the key with this pattern, if you're recognizing yourself here, is to go slow, to give yourself time to rest, rebuild, and recuperate. So let's look at pattern 3. This is immune-driven stress, and this often is inflammatory or comes post-illness. And I want to talk through this one because many people struggle to articulate it and often feel very misunderstood because of it. Immune-driven stress often follows illness or inflammation or a prolonged period of physiological strain. And this is quite different to the other two that we've already been through. It's different to the wired or the flat patterns. In this pattern, stress doesn't necessarily feel emotional or psychological. It's much more physical in the way it feels. Fatigue feels very disproportionate to what's actually happening in your life. You might not be particularly busy, yet still have small amounts of mental or physical effort that leave you completely wiped out. And people often describe a very specific experience here. So they might feel relatively okay while doing something, getting through a work day or going through a short walk or having a conversation, but notice how much it drains you of energy afterwards. And that fatigue can be delayed as well. It can sometimes hit later in the day or even the following day. And brain fog is very common with this pattern. So that thinking feels slower, concentration is harder to sustain. Sometimes words don't come out easily, so you might struggle to find a word or mix words up. Tasks that require focus or decision-making can feel really disproportionately draining as well. And recovery also changes in this pattern. So after illness, stress, or exertion, it can take much longer to feel like yourself again. And what used to be sort of a quick bounce back now feels like it's drawn out and it's unpredictable and like you may never return to the old you. And you may tell yourself that you're deconditioned, that you've lost fitness, you've lost stamina, that you just need to push harder and rebuild strength. Others of you may be thinking, I should feel better by now. Especially if the original illness felt quite mild or happened months ago, which is quite often the case. And that narrative can be incredibly frustrating and often harmful because what's happening here isn't lack of effort or resilience, it's biology. In immune-driven stress, the immune system hasn't fully stood down. Even when that acute illness has passed, that immune signaling is remaining partially active. And this ongoing activation in itself is a form of stress. The immune system is metabolically expensive. It requires a huge amount of energy to function. And when it remains switched on, even at a low level, it diverts energy away from other processes in the body. And inflammation plays a really key role here. Inflammatory signaling changes how energy is produced and used at a cellular level. The body prioritizes defense and recovery over performance. And this is why energy feels limited even at rest. It's not that the body isn't trying, it's that the energy is being redirected to that immune system. At a cellular level, mitochondria respond to this environment by becoming less efficient. And again, this isn't damage, it's protection. By reducing output, the body limits any further strain while you are recovering and while that recovery is ongoing. And this is why pushing harder often backfires in this pattern. Trying to exercise your way out of immune-driven stress can trigger crashes, because the system doesn't yet have the capacity to respond in the way that you expect. And another source of confusion with this immune-driven pattern is testing, because standard blood work may appear normal, which can leave people feeling like they've been dismissed or doubting their own experience. But immune and inflammatory stress doesn't always show up clearly on routine tests, especially when it's low grade and chronic rather than acute. And I want to say this really clearly, this pattern is not imagined. It is real. The fatigue is real, the crashes are real, the slow recovery is real, and the frustration that you feel around this experience is completely understandable. With the right support, the pacing, immune calming, regulation, and gradual rebuilding, this pattern can improve, but it requires a very different approach from simply pushing through or forcing stamina. Understanding that your body is still prioritizing recovery can be enormously relieving. It reframes the experience from I'm failing to bounce back to my system is still doing important work. And once that pressure lifts and you know that you need to work on your immune system, the body often has far more room to heal. So now let's have a look at the fourth pattern. And this is burnout style stress. And this is what is sometimes called loss of adaptive capacity. And this is the final pattern that I want to talk you through today. And this is often one of the most painful patterns for people to recognize, not because it's rare, but because of what it brings up emotionally. In this pattern, stress tolerance doesn't just dip, it collapses. Things that once felt really manageable now feel completely overwhelming. Small demands such as a busy day, a difficult conversation, a change in routine can all feel like too much. The larger things like going to work just can become really difficult. The buffer that used to exist between you and stress completely disappears. People will often describe feeling quite fragile, but not in a dramatic way, just more like they are exposed. There's no margin for error anymore. The system is struggling. Recovery is poor. You get disrupted night's sleep, a stressful week, or a minor illness. All of these things just completely wipe you out for days or even weeks. Rest just doesn't feel restorative in the way that it used to, and time off just doesn't fully reset things. And alongside this, there's often a deep sense of not feeling like yourself. You may say, I don't recognize who I am anymore. I used to cope much better than this. This is almost to the point where there's a grief for the version of yourself that used to be able to handle more and do more and be more resilient. And understandably, people interpret this as failure. So maybe you tell yourself that you've failed, that you're no longer capable, that you're not good enough, that something fundamental has changed and not for the better. And this is where burnout becomes particularly heavy because the physical symptoms are layered with that shame. But what's actually happening here is not a collapse of your character, it's a collapse of adaptive capacity. Burnout-style stress reflects a system that's been under strain for a long time, often across multiple fronts at once. And that chronic stress signaling may be there, immune activation may be there, metabolic demand, poor recovery. And for a long time, the body's compensated. So it may be that you've been through some of the other stages. It's borrowed energy, it's stayed alert, it's pushed through, it's got you over an illness. Eventually, though, those compensatory systems are exhausted. The nervous system loses its flexibility. Instead of moving between activation and recovery, it just struggles to do either well. And this is why stress feels intolerable in burnout. It's not that demands have suddenly increased, it's that the system no longer has the capacity to respond adaptively. Your nervous system is tired. The immune system may be reactive. Metabolic efficiency is often reduced. All the systems that once helped you to cope or that were covering for another system are now under strain themselves. And again, this isn't damage, it's adaptation reaching its limit. Burnout rarely arrives overnight. It's usually the result of prolonged responsibility, sustained pressure, long periods of putting others or expectations ahead of your own health. And many people who experience burnout are actually deeply capable, very conscientious, maybe a really caring person. And you've probably often been the strong one for a very long time. And that's why this pattern feels all the more confronting, because it doesn't align with how you see yourself as a person. But here's the reframe that matters most with this one. Burnout isn't a personality problem. It's a physiological state. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It means that your system has been carrying more than it could restore for too long. And when you understand this, something shifts. The shame's going to soften. The self-criticism eases. And instead of trying to force yourself back to who you were, you can start to support your body where it's at now. Recovery from burnout isn't about becoming tougher or more disciplined. It's about rebuilding flexibility. Gently, deliberately, and with respect for your system, your system's limits, and for where you're at right now. And this is where adrenal testing can be really useful, because it can help us to see where you are, which pattern you are actually in. And while burnout can feel frightening, it's not permanent. With the right support, adaptive capacity can return. But it starts with understanding what's actually happening and letting go of the idea that this experience says anything negative about who you are. So before we move towards closing this episode, there's something important that I want to clarify here, because pattern-based conversations can be incredibly helpful, but only if they're held lightly. Stress patterns are not boxes. They're not identities, and they are certainly not diagnoses. In real life, stress responses are fluid. They overlap, they shift, they evolve over time based on what the body has been exposed to and how much recovery it's been able to access. And this is why many people recognize themselves in more than one pattern, and that might be what you're doing right now. You might see aspects of wired stress in one phase of your life and flat stress in another, and burnout style stress after a prolonged period of coping. You might even notice different patterns showing up at the same time. So feeling wired mentally, but flat emotionally, motivated in short bursts, but crashing afterwards, coping well on the surface, while recovery quietly deteriorates underneath. None of this means that you're complicated or hard to help. It means your system has been adapting dynamically to the load that you are under. Stress responses evolve because the body is always trying to protect itself. When one strategy no longer works, when staying alert becomes too costly, for example, the system shifts. It may conserve energy, it may downregulate drive, it may collapse adaptive capacity altogether. These shifts aren't random, they're logical responses to sustained demand without sufficient recovery. And just as importantly, stress patterns can change in the other direction too. So with the right support, regulation can improve, flexibility can return, and recovery can become more efficient again. And this is why really rigid self-labeling can be unhelpful. If you decide this is just how I am now, you risk mistaking a current physiological state for the permanent truth. So the message I want to leave you with here is your stress pattern isn't who you are, it's just where your system is at right now. And where your system is right now has been shaped by cumulative load, past stress, illness, sleep, nourishment, and recovery, but not by personal weakness or failure. And when you understand this, something important happens. You can stop fighting your own body and start listening to it. Become more curious and less critical. And that shift alone can actually reduce that stress signaling. And if you really want to find out where you are at in these stress patterns, then adrenal testing can help us with this. But stress patterns don't need to be fixed. They need to first be understood. Because once you understand how your body is adapting and what it's adapting to, you can support your body in the right way that allows change for where you are at right now. So by this point in this episode, one thing should be really clear. Stress recovery isn't a one-size-fits-all. Wired stress, flat stress, immune-driven stress, burnout-style stress, each reflects a different way that the body has adapted to load. And because the patterns are different, the support needs to be different too. This is why stress recovery works best when it's pattern-specific. What helps a wired system settle may not help a system that's already shut down. What supports immune-driven stress may overwhelm a nervous system that's exhausted. And this is where a lot of well-meaning stress advice falls short. Regulation is often confused with relaxation. People are told to calm down, meditate, breathe, slow down, as though the nervous system can simply be instructed to switch states. But regulation isn't something you force, it's something the body allows when it feels safe enough to do so. Safety precedes resilience. Before the body can become more resilient, flexible, or energized, it needs to feel that the environment is no longer persistently demanding. And this is why stress regulation inside the studio and in clinic are approached so differently. We work stepwise so as to not overwhelm. We're pattern-led, but not generic. And it's designed specifically for people who are already tired, busy, and doing their best. Instead of asking you to do everything at once, the focus is on understanding how stress is showing up in your body and supporting regulation in a way that matches the pattern and the place that you are at right now. There's no expectation to push, perform, or fix yourself. The emphasis is on restoring safety, rebuilding flexibility, and allowing recovery to happen gradually rather than forcing it. If you've been listening today and you've been recognizing yourself, not as broken, but as adapted, this is exactly the context that the studio and clinic were designed for. You can join the waitlist for the studio in the links below this episode, or you can book a free inquiry call to work with us in clinic, also below this episode. So take some time to reflect. Which stress patterns felt familiar to you? Was there one description that made you think that's me, or perhaps elements of more than one? And as you reflect on that, it may be worth asking yourself, have I been trying to fix stress without fully understanding how it's showing up in my body? So many people approach stress by trying to remove it, manage it, or push through it without recognizing that their nervous system has been adapting in a very specific way for a long time. Understanding your pattern doesn't mean something is wrong with you. It means your body has been responding intelligently to the load that you've been putting on it. And once you understand that, stress stops feeling like failing and starts feeling like something workable. In the next episode, we'll build on this understanding and look at how to regulate stress safely without forcing calm and without burning yourself out even further. We'll explore what regulation actually looks like in practice, why pushing for relaxation often backfires, and how to support your nervous system in a way that restores flexibility rather than draining it. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to like the episode or share it. And I'll see you next time on the Good Health Podcast.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Good Health Podcast. Do share the episode with anyone you think it may benefit and help us to spread the word on all things health and wellness by rating, liking, or subscribing to the podcast. If you want more, you can listen to more episodes on your favorite podcast app. or sign up to my newsletter for my favourite tips, tricks, health advice, brands, recipes, and more at nicolegoodhealth.com/newsletter. Have a lovely week. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and I'll see you on the next episode of the Good Health Podcast.